Where are we again? Let's open our Bibles, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 3. We have a different message today than our regular study. This idea of after the fire, though, it comes from 1 Kings, where we're going to be back to next week. And Elijah, you know, he wanted to hear from God, and God was going to speak to him. But, you know, there was all these radical things that happened. It says there was a strong wind, there was an earthquake, and then there was this big fire, right? But God wasn't in any of those things. God, it says he came and he spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice after all that stuff. We want everything to be this big, giant thing, you know. And I'm thinking about something like Thanksgiving today. This is after Thanksgiving, right? We had Thanksgiving a few days ago, and maybe that was a big deal. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe you didn't have a lot going on. But Thanksgiving, you know, we're thankful, and some of us have little things we do. You know, we make little papers and say what we're thankful for, and then we try to guess who said it and that kind of thing. We do those kinds of things sometimes, or we just tell each other what we're thankful for. So Thanksgiving's over now, right? So now what? Are we still thankful?
Yes.
You know, is it only one day, and we're thankful for the things during that day? But what about today? You know, this is a challenge. This is a challenging message for me, and I think for many of us. There are some people that are thankful all the time, and you just hate those people. You know, but for us, for most of us, I think, to be challenged like him, are you really thankful every day? I mean, isn't that what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5? He says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, always everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a challenge. And so, you know, I read that somewhere, you know, not just Thanksgiving, but thanks living, that this is a part of our lives. And again, this is a challenging message. I think we need to ask God to help us to do this. And this is what I'm going to talk about today. And we're going to look at some other verses. But there's someone called Yael Eckstein. She runs the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews. And she said This is Thanksgiving, not the absence of fear, not the comfort of easy answers, but gratitude inside the unknown, because we trust that God walks with us. I love that. Gratitude inside the unknown, because we trust that God walks with us, not just a holiday on the calendar, but a daily practice. We trust that God walks with us. That's, you know, Psalm 23, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's something. That's a daily thing. So if I asked you, you know, do you have anything to be thankful for? And it's not Thanksgiving anymore. This is just another day, another Sunday, another time to be together. And you probably could think of something. Probably. Maybe. I'm going to take a little time later and have time for you to say some things, to share. But let's look at this, what Paul says here in verse 15 through 17. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. Some versions say grace in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, what? Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Three times in this little passage here he's talking about it. Now, in the book of Colossians alone, in chapter 1, in chapter 2, in chapter 3, he talks about being thankful, to showing gratitude. Here in verse 15, the word is for thankful. He says, be thankful is the word eucharistos. And some of us, you know, we have a different church background or where we think of the word Eucharist, right? But the word is a form of the word grace. Eucharis. Charis is the word for grace. So it's this idea of being grateful and mindful of favor, of the grace that we have, that this undeserved favor, this Eucharistos that God. And he mentions a few things in that verse. He talks about the peace of Christ and the body of Christ. Those are things certainly that were given to us by grace and to be thankful for and to show gratitude. Verse 16, he talks about singing the songs, the word of Christ, teaching, admonishing, then the psalms and the hymns and spiritual songs. We sang one just now called Gratitude. And in this version, it says, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And the literal word is grace, with charis, with grace in your hearts to God. But it's the same idea, being thankful for the things that God has done for us. You know, we use that phrase, well, we say grace before we eat, right? Where'd that come from? You know, we say a lot of things that we really don't think about, right? We say grace because we're thankful for what we have, that God has given to us. And it's not because I have done such amazing stuff, I deserve so many good things. No, God just blessed us. God has taken care of us. The psalms and the hymns and the spiritual song. Verse 17, it says in the end, they're giving thanks. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. And that's another form of that word Eucharistos. This is the verb form, and the tense is present active participle. So you English people that know English, participle usually has what on the end? ING, right. So this is, when you read it, giving thanks, it's something that should be ongoing. This is the point I'm trying to make here, that we're people who give thanks. We're expressing gratitude in an ongoing fashion. Paul used these words so often. This guy, Paul, right? He used these words so often. But I want to remind you about something, that when Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians, and I've already said he used it quite a bit in the book of Colossians, where was he? Does anybody know? He was in jail. He was in prison, and he's writing these things. And we think everything's got to be perfect before I can be a thankful person. This is the challenge, right? This is the rub. This is what I'm trying to get to here. Paul, so often he was thankful in his epistles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times he says, I'm thankful for you, the people he was writing to. Thankful for the people that he was connected to by Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for you people. I really am. And according to what I saw yesterday, you appear to be thankful for me too. I don't know why, but turn ahead to just a couple pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Mine is just one page for me. Chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, and we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. We thank God continually. There's this continual, and again, this, we could do a study on this guy, the Apostle Paul, and everything he went to. His life was not a piece of cake by any means when you read some of the lists of some of the stuff that he had to face. But he said, we're thankful. We're continually thankful. He says, in this particular verse, he says, because you receive the word of God. What more is there than to take God's word and to actually receive it and know that it is the word of truth and that it is actually working in you, working in me? You know, I can't do anything in you, but God's word can do something in you. God's word is working in my life and in my heart, and it's an incredible thing. That's something to be thankful for. If you know, we talk a lot, I talk a lot about having this time where we are in God's word on a daily, regular, consistent basis, and that's going to affect how we live. That's going to affect who we are. And so Paul's saying that here. He says, I thank God without ceasing. It's like, this is the biggest thing, he says, and I can't stop being thankful because God's word is working in your lives, he says. Some other instances that I found in Revelation chapter 11. This is a quote from the 24 elders, and at this time they were actually on their faces when they said these words. They said, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, the one who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned." That's powerful, isn't it? We'll get to that again in a second. And one more verse, Matthew chapter 15. Jesus gave thanks a lot too, you know. Well, actually, we're going to have communion today, but we're all out of communion cups, so I thank God for that. What? See what I'm saying? To be thankful, even when things don't go the way that you have planned it, to be thankful for all things work together for good. Jesus, you know, they didn't have the food they needed. Jesus, he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and he gave thanks and he broke them and he gave them to the disciples, and they in turn passed them out to the people. Jesus, you know, was a person who would give thanks even in the midst of difficult circumstances. So I found this list, and I just want to go through this list of 7 things of gratitude, or written by a gal. You wouldn't know her. I didn't really know her either. But I'm going to put this list up and think about these things one by one. Number one is gratitude for what God has done. So what he has done in the past, in your life, in my life, in 70 years of life. Who would have thought? Seriously, when I was a kid, you know, before I ever became a believer, I didn't think I was going to live much past 20. Seriously, that's what I thought. There was just something that I thought. Number two, and this is kind of what the 24 elders were on their faces for, gratitude for who God is. The attributes of who God is, that he is the incredible, awesome God, that he's the creator of the world, that he is for us and not against us. Number three, how about this? Gratitude for all the things that never happened. Wow. Number four, gratitude for all the things that we cannot see. There's a lot of stuff going on that we can't see. Can we be thankful that God is in charge and in control, that he's sovereign, that he's able to take care of his people? Number five, gratitude in advance for what God will do. God is going to work things out. God is going to take care of it all. We need to understand that and have hope. That's what hope is. That's what faith is, that trusting that God is going to take care of it. God is going to do it. How about number six? And sometimes this is the only thing that we're thankful for, is the blessings that we're going to have in the future in heaven. We have an imperishable, we have an undefiled inheritance, the Bible says. And you know, some of us say, well, you know, I've never received an inheritance. I'm not going to get anything. All the people I could have got it from are, have died or they never had anything. But we have an inheritance. You know, we think it's all money. It's not all money. I have to say this, though. We got an inheritance one time. And it was from a neighbor. And she gave us $10,000. She has passed away since that. But you know, it was like a shock. But $10,000 back then, that was a lot of money. You know, as far as I can remember, and my memory isn't always the greatest, but it helped us to pay for my daughter's wedding. You know that? She don't know that. You know that? She didn't know that. But number seven is the one that just kind of hit me, is to show gratitude for the trials. Gratitude for trials? Like, what? No. How many of you find that easy? Oh, yeah, no problem. Trials, yeah. Thank you, God, for this trial. I love this trial. Thank you. Chuck Swindoll, you've heard of him on the radio. He's a great Bible teacher, and he said this, speaking about Thanksgiving and, you know, where it came from. And he says, after enduring the bitterness of winter, the early colonists, they held a feast celebrating their survival and giving thanks to God for his protection and provision. It was a spontaneous celebration of praise. God had turned their hardships, sorrow, and pain into gratitude, health, and joy. Thanksgiving wasn't born from ease. It was born from hardship, met by God's faithfulness. He says, whatever winter you've walked through, may you discover fresh reasons to praise the God who has carried you through it all. That is so true. We don't think about that. God brings out of the hardest things, out of those trials. He blesses. He takes care of us. He provides. He does something. But to hold on to him, because he's with us. He's there. The gal that made the seven things, she says this, I discovered that gratitude doesn't come after the grief has ended. Instead, grief and gratitude coexist. Right in the midst of the worst, the practice of daily thanksgiving helped me see God's goodness in a life that felt bad. Did you catch that? Grief and gratitude, they coexist, they live together. In the middle of the grief, in the middle of the trial, to be thankful, and it helped her see God's goodness in what felt bad. You see my point? You see what I'm getting at here? Are you tracking with me at all here? To be thankful even in the trials, even in the troubles, even in when things seem to be going completely bad. To actually be thankful at a time like that? Oh, no, I could never do that, you think. But yes, you can. And that's what God's calling us to do. And I think it'll change our lives. And I'm not speaking here about, as I said, as someone who has got this all figured out. This is a challenge for me. This is something that I'm having to, like, grapple with and say, you know, and so I was thinking, you know, I was having this trial, that trial. I'm thinking, God, thank you for this trial. I'm going, wow, that's weird. That doesn't feel right. But I think the more we do it, the more it will feel right to even be thankful that God, all things work together for good. And even this trial, that God is going to do something good. God is going to make something good come out of this trial. How about chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians? Turn the page again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Let's start in verse 16 because it's really kind of a triad. Be joyful always. Uh-oh. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We say, I want to know what God's will is about this job I'm looking for, about this house I might want to buy, or I want God's will about, you know, this decision or that decision. He says, God's will is to be joyful always, to pray, continue, to give thanks in all circumstances. That's what God's will is. So many times we want to know what God's will is about all these different things, and then we neglect the things that are clearly already spelled out as God's will. This is God's will. Now, does that make it easy just because it's God's will? No. But you know what? I read this that this affects our health. Someone wrote this too. He said, doctors have found out what the scriptures have taught, that a cheerful, thankful attitude of mind is beneficial for the body, and that worry, depression, and a complaining spirit are definitely harmful to one's health. It's true. You're complaining all the time. If I'm complaining all the time It affects your body. It affects your whole mind, body, spirit, everything. But to be thankful, to have a thankful attitude, give thanks in all circumstances. He goes on to say that gratitude needs to be cultivated. And of all the peoples of the world, we have the most for which to give thanks. Of all the people in the world, we should be the most thankful people. They look at Christians and they go, Christians, they're always thankful. Or do they see us and they go, Christians, those people are miserable. Like, what do they see when they look at you and me? Well, he says he's a Christian, but look what he does. He's always bummed out. He's always angry. He's always, you know, complaining about something. Ouch. So I want to, like I said, I want to take some time. We got some time, and I'm going to take. I have this microphone here. We are going to turn off the camera so people cannot see you. They will be able to hear you. And you have to keep this short, brief. I don't want any, 10-minute dissertations of what you're thankful for. Please, you know, we did. Like I said, we had the little paper things that we wrote on there what we're thankful for, and then. And then, you know, the paper's this big, but, you know, like, the thing is, like, completely covered. Like, and then you know who it is, because only certain people, like, would write all that stuff. And then the other people have one word. So, but this is the challenge right now, though. I don't want to just hear that you're thankful for something good. I want to hear you say you're thankful for something that's not good, a trial in your life. Can you do that? Can you try? I'm thankful for the trial in my life concerning this. You don't need to give all the details. Can we do that? Is there anybody who is brave enough to start? Look at that. You got that camera off? Awesome. One of the terms we use for our God is that He's a redeemer, and He redeems those things that we think are just horrible. You know, the stuff that we have to go through, the trials even, He's a redeemer. And He redeems it. He buys it back and makes something good out of it. But you know, many of us have had difficult, you know, upbringings what God can do is just incredible, just incredible. I was thinking about one story I want to tell you before I close with these verses. We had come to Rhode Island, and this kind of all came up, you know, from last night. We had some people here that I hadn't seen for a long, long time, and we had just got here to Rhode Island, and we had, you know, we had looked at all the states in New England, really, and we realized that Rhode Island was where we were supposed to be. And we were actually staying with John and Cindy DiBellato, and they had a two-bedroom house, and so all of our kids were all like sacked out on sleeping bags on the floor, and we were in this little sort of a side room. It really wasn't a bedroom, but we were in there, and so we, you know, we're looking for somewhere to live, and like Carlos, that's what made me think of this, Carlos. You know, we had nowhere to go, and they said, you can stay at our house. We're going away for 2 weeks. You can stay in our house while we're gone. And then they came back, and then we were there for like 10 weeks altogether. And anyways, we went to look at a house, and I went to this house, and it's in Warwick on Arnold's Neck Drive, and I went to the house by myself to check it out. You know, I got the address and went and checked it out, and I said, there is no way that we're going to live in this house. I just didn't think there's any possible way. And so, because it was this cute, cute little house, but right on the water in Arnold's Neck, you know. And we're just going to rent there. And so we pack up. We had our four kids and my nephew with us at the time. And we all went down there. And we pull up, and there's a red Porsche sitting there. And this is someone who's applying for the house, right? Oh, that definitely. This is not going to happen. Who are we going to rent to, right? This family who, you know, got all these kids and old beat-up station wagon, or the guy with the red Porsche? Which one would you rent to? So, to make a long story short, the lady rented it to us. And we found out later, she said, you know what? It was almost Christmas, and she said, I just felt so sorry for you people. And she let us rent the house, and it was incredible. And then we left Warwick. We were there for a year. We left Warwick, went to Connecticut for a year, and God told us from his word to go back the way you came, and we went back, and we came back to Warwick. We moved back into the very same house. It was empty again, because the people that they had, probably the ones that drove the red Porsche, had stiffed them on the rent. So we went back in there for another couple years, and then God opens doors. So to be thankful, to give thanks. The last verses I want to read to you, and we'll close. We were going to have communion today, but I thank God we couldn't find the cups, or we don't have any cups. We're all out. So we're going to have communion next week. Is that okay? But in some churches, right, you call communion what? Eucharist. Eucharist, right? We're going to have the Eucharist now, and that means to have communion together. And why? Because it's this giving of thanks, really. And this is where it comes from. And Jesus, it says, while they're eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Was that an easy thing? He was giving thanks for what? For the cross. He was giving thanks for the most, agonizing death that has ever been, ever will be on the planet Earth, because he died for our sins. He died for the sins of the whole world. But yet he was giving thanks. Now he struggled, right? You know what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? What did he say? If there's any other way, Father, And God said, no, there's no other way. And he said, not my will, but yours be done, Jesus said. But he gave thanks. And he knew exactly what was coming. Let's pray. God, we come before you. We're just human. We're weak. We have all kinds of selfish, sinful ways, and yet you're calling us to rise above all of that and to be people of gratitude, people of thankfulness for all the things that we've been talking about today, and even the difficulties, the trials. You, Jesus, you gave thanks for the cross, for what you had to go through there. You gave thanks for those things. You showed us what, if you could give thanks for that, we could give thanks for the simple little trials we face. They're nothing compared to that, nothing. So, Father, help us to be those people that are people who live a thankful life. Thanks living, not just the one day a year, but to be people who are thankful in all the things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Knowing that you walk with us, that you will never leave us, never forsake us, that you are faithful, 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 and that all things truly will work together for good to those that love you. Father, I thank you for this beautiful, beautiful group of people. And I pray your blessing, your grace upon them. Grace and peace be upon you from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Jesus, that you're available to each one. And maybe there are some that don't know you, that don't know anything about what we're talking about, but you gave your life for them, and all they need to do is believe in you and receive you. What a thing to be thankful for, people who surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Do it today. Don't wait another day if that's you. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing.